I said, okay, we're going to talk about women. We're going to talk about the wives. And, you know, it's always a touchy subject because society has indoctrinated women, and I know nobody in here, but society has indoctrinated women to think differently than what the Scripture says. Society has given women this idea that if you submit to your husband, that you're the doormat. If you submit to your husband or you submit to God, that first off, there is no God, and women are superior, and so therefore they're going to dominate. And what happens is it creates a thinking process that's not inaccurate, that's not accurate. And so then when I come along and tell you that you're not dominant and tell you that taking the leadership role is not your role if you have a husband, and then you go, well, wait a minute. And then to tell you to submit, the woman goes, submit? Who are you talking to? I'm not submitting to nobody. Hence the problem of your marriage. But when I come along and tell you this, sometimes it creates tension. Tension between you and men, ladies. Not just your husband and not just your pastor, but men in general, because you want to dominate. So my goal today is to hopefully clearly explain your role as a wife. And you say, well, I'm not married. Well, at least then you'll know for when you do get married. You say, well, I've been married and I don't plan on getting remarried ever. Well, praise Jesus, you can teach a younger lady how she should be when she gets married, or if you know somebody in a marriage and you can help them to learn. The Bible says for the more mature women, you like how I avoided the word older, that the more mature women are to teach the younger women. So see, you take this, you learn it, and you can still apply it. It applies to everybody, whether you are in a marriage, not in a marriage, looking to go into a marriage, never looking to go into marriage, but you can teach somebody about marriage. So see, it all applies. This morning, we are going to talk about the wife, and we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, hopefully, as I unfold this, because, you know, I didn't want to just, every time I do a marriage series, I do it on Ephesians 5, but this year I thought what I would try to do is go in a different direction and show you some new stuff that you may not have seen before. Now, you're going to need your Bible, so is there anybody here? If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Our ushers will make sure that they get you one, and because you will need it. My goal is to cover this so that everybody walks out of here not so much happy, because that's not my goal, but informed. And then you'll just have to deal with the happy or unhappy, whatever emotion happens to flood your soul during the next hour. You'll just have to deal with it as you go home. And ladies, if you have an issue with me, go home and talk to your husbands. All right. It's so funny. You know, men, I just got up here and go, all right, men, here we go. This is boom, 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 and throw it out there. Ladies, you got to make all this because we deal with emotions, don't we? And so as a pastor, I'm up here making all this stuff so that you ladies will feel fine about me cutting your wrist and watching you bleed. I don't understand it. But if I don't set it up, then it doesn't matter. You'll get mad at me. And even if I do set it up, some of you will still get mad at me, and it'll be all right. And you'll walk out and you go, I'm just telling you right now, I don't agree with that, Pastor. I just don't agree with it. And really what you're saying is, God, I don't agree with you, and I don't like what you had to say. Because everything I say this morning is going to be scripturally sound and scripturally backed up. And so if you disagree with that, that means you disagree with Scripture. To be quite honest with you, I'm not going to take it personally. You know, I've got my wife at home, and she knows her place, and I know her place. And but she also I know my place, and she knows my place, and so we're pretty solid in our household. Ephesians chapter 5. Maybe I should go in prayer again. One more time before we get started. No, I'm kidding. 5:22. I love this. You know, we start in 5:22. Wives, submit, period. And you go, that's not all it says. Well, basically, that's all it says. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And so then it goes on. And it's so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Then we jump down to 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And so as we look at this and we unfold it, we're going to define wives, your role is to submit to your husband in everything as to the Lord. As to the Lord. If your husband, and by the way, next week, we're going to be talking about friend with benefits. A friend with benefits. I don't think I need to go into the explanation of benefits until next week. Amen? But you get the idea. And so we're going to talk about this love and what it looks like. We're going to talk about that next week. But you are to submit to your husband as to the Lord. So if your husband is asking you to do things that's ungodly, then you don't submit to that. If your husband is asking you to do things physically that is out of your realm, then you guys need to discuss that. And of course, we'll talk about all that next week. But here, when it says submit to your husband, is as to the Lord. If your husband is living godly, you submit to him. Okay, this is where the darts come. If your husband is not living godly, you still need to submit to his leadership. It doesn't say, wives, submit to your husbands as you see fit. It doesn't say, wives, submit to your husbands as he's doing right. It doesn't say that. It says, wives, submit to your husbands in everything. And then it says, husbands, you love your wives as Christ loved the church. So if both parties are doing what they're supposed to be doing, by the way, this is written to Christians. It's written to the church of Ephesus. And so if both parties are doing what they're supposed to be doing, you're going to have a glorious marriage. Okay, so let me just put that out there before somebody throws something at me. Isn't this the women are emotional, aren't you? Ladies, how many are emotional? Yeah, amen. Thank you for being honest. How many sometimes when I'm up here preaching, ladies, you just want to throw something at me? Anybody? Praise God. I got two. Okay, so now I know the direction it'll be coming from. And the problem is it's on both sides of the room. Maybe my eyes will go a little like that and I can watch both. I can't go there. Okay. I got to stay. If I don't stay on this, we're not going to get out. I got 7 pages of notes. Hey, yeah, and I only had 4 for the men. And 3 of those were scripture. I'm not even going there. Wives, be silent in church. If you have anything to say, ask your husband when you get home. Oh, the beauty of it. Okay, I love scripture. Okay, listen, God says to submit, and you cannot interpret or define it any other way. Ladies, that's literally what it means. Submit to your husband. But listen, before you cut me off, because I know some of you sitting there going, I don't know why we came today. I knew he was preaching on us, and I don't know why we came today. And for those of you, how many first-time visitors here? Amen. They're going, why did you drag us here? Give them a hand for being here today. Amen. And I got an email said, "Pastor, can we come back to church?" And I went, "Of course, you don't need an invite. You're always invited. Always you can come back." And then after I sent the email, I told my wife, I said, "She has no idea I'm going to be talking about her." It's all fun. I love it. Okay, so biblical submission on your worksheet. Biblical submission means two things. And so I'm going to try to explain this so you ladies see exactly what the scripture says, exactly what God says about women and their role. But I'm also going to share with you your importance as well. Because I think what happens as we go through with this submit, men, some of you abuse that word. Some of you absolutely abuse that word. You take your Christianity stand, but you don't live like a Christian. But when it comes to that, you're like, "Oh, well God says." And I hope your wife picks up the Bible, beats you in the head with it, and then repents as soon as she's done. Okay, maybe not. Maybe she can call somebody else to beat you in the head. But my point is, husbands, you abuse this sometimes. You take this word submit and you make your wife a doormat. You take this word submit and you beat her up with it. And I'm going to tell you, you are wrong and you are ungodly. And you are not loving your wife as Christ loved the church. You can take this military, you're the general and they're the private mentality, but it's not going to get you anywhere. You know the old adage or the old saying, you can buy a man's back, but you can't buy his heart. And a man of the opinion, a man persuaded against his will is of the same opinion still. It really goes that way with your wife. Men, if you're abusing this submit word and you're abusing your wife, you are not winning her affection. You are not winning her love. And guess what? Your wife won't submit because she's building up this bitterness toward you or this animosity toward you because you're treating her like she's the pet. Or worse, you actually treat the pet better than the wife. And so then you get angry because your wife doesn't submit, but you're not loving her as Christ loved the church. And what's happening is now you have a war within your house. And your wife wants to submit. She wants to do right. But husbands, you're a jerk. And she is struggling because you're not being godly. And then what happens is you get this fight that's going on. And men, if you don't treat your wives and love them as Christ loved the church, they'll never submit to you. Which means that, ladies, you're being ungodly. And husbands, it's possibly your fault. You see what I'm saying? So this has got to come together as God says for both parties to do their part. Or else you're going to have a pretty nasty house. And then your kids are going to suffer and your kids are going to get hurt. And listen, it's just a domino effect. And then it rolls out into the neighborhood. It rolls out into the church because you bring it in here. And it just, both parties got to do their job. And if you don't, it's going to be ugly. So I want to explain what biblical submission looks like now that I've clarified. I don't know what I clarified. I just wanted to clarify it. Biblical submission means two things. One, it is obediently displaying your role in marriage's picture of salvation. And you go, "What do you mean it's displaying our role in salvation?" I'm going to tell you, it is absolutely amazing. And I really didn't grab hold of it until this study. I didn't grab hold of that marriage literally is a picture of salvation. It's very interesting. As you look here at Ephesians. And in Ephesians, if you go back to verse 5:17. It begins with therefore. Well, whenever you see a therefore, you got to go back and see what it's there for. Go back to 5:1. It starts out with therefore be imitators of God as dear children. And so when we see the marriage, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to be imitators of God. Well, what's that got to do with salvation? Nothing. But the interesting thing is 5:1 starts out with therefore. So look at 4:25. It starts out with therefore. And as you work your way backwards, what happens is In 4, it says, therefore, 4:1, I'm sorry, it says, therefore. 3:14 says, for this reason. For what reason? We got to keep going backwards, don't we? And so as we keep working this passage backwards, or the book of Ephesians backwards, you go to 3:1. For this reason. For what reason? We got to go back into chapter 2, don't we? Look here in 2:19. It says, now therefore. Therefore what? We got to go backwards. And as we just keep going backwards, look at 2:11. Therefore. Therefore what? Go backwards. So we're going to keep going backwards. And as we keep going backwards, we get into 1:15. In 1:15 it says, therefore. Therefore what? We keep going backwards. Well, guess what happens? What happens is we get to 1:3. When we get to 1:3, we start reading. Because 1:3 literally sets the basis for 5:22, 23, 24, on through 31. It's really very, let's look at this real quick. In 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption. That means he chose the whole world to be his children. The problem is not all people are going to choose him. So that's what predestined means. It doesn't mean that Jesus picked you and you're going to go to heaven, and he didn't pick me, so I'm going to go to hell. It has nothing to do with it. He predestined the entire world to go to heaven. Now the entire world has to say yes or no to him in order to go. Okay, that's predestined in a nutshell. As sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise, the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation. Now, that dispensation is literally a period of time. In the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth in him. In him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. What we see is in 5, if you keep going back, for this reason, therefore, for this reason, therefore, for this reason, therefore, we come all the way back from 5:23, we come all the way back to 1:3 through the end of chapter 1, and what we see is he lays out salvation. And he lays out salvation as the groundwork, and we see that literally marriage is a picture of salvation. It's very interesting when you follow a book backwards, how it just keeps rolling into itself and explaining itself. And it goes to one idea. Because you are saved, because you are a Christian, if you are, because you love Jesus, therefore you're saved. And because of your salvation, now you live it out so that you show your salvation through every point of life, including your marriage. Especially your marriage. Why do you think Satan is on the attack of marriages? Why do you think marriages are taking such hits right now? You know, with this whole Obamacare, do you realize that, and I didn't know this until just last week, that under the new Obamacare, if you are married, you actually pay upwards of almost $10,000 per year more than if you were single. But if you get divorced and live together or cohabitate, you'll save, I think it's $6,000. So literally what you have is why the attack on marriages? Because Satan knows what that represents. He knows what it pictures. He knows that if we take our marriage seriously, by the way, I'm never divorcing my wife. She might want to kill me, but I'm never divorcing her. I'm going to do it God's way. And Satan is going to attack the marriages. Why? Because it is a picture of salvation. It's an amazing thing as you unfold this. Number two, it is the key. Biblical submission means two things. That was number one. Number two, it is the key which equips you to impact your husband's heart. God made man. Listen, this is how God did it. By the way, ladies, if you don't like it, you really need to take this up with God. Don't shoot the mailman. Just take the mail and return postage when you get opportunity, okay? God set it up for the man to be the leader of the house. Women, when you take over that authority that is his, you literally crush him. You push him down. When you take over the authority and you become the dominant one in the house to the point where the husband knows if he doesn't come to you and ask for permission, otherwise you're going to flip out, you've crushed him. You're not allowing him to be what God made him to be and what God has called him to be. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible is very clear that it's better for a man to live on a rooftop than in a house with a cantankerous woman. Wives, you've got to understand that if you crush the man's spirit by taking his role, your marriage is incredibly unhealthy. And will continue to be unhealthy. And then you go, well, he won't do what I ask him to do. Grab hold of this, honey. Well, I told him I wanted it done, and it's still not done. And so if I want it done, I got to do it myself. No, you don't. Leave it alone. Well, it'll never get done. Then so be it. It's on him. You got to let this go. You got to let the man be the man. And men, you got to be the man. You got to step up. All right, I'm not going to beat up on men today. I'm just going to stay focused on the ladies. All right. Listen, this is an inherent teaching of Scripture of salvation. I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. So if you'll just turn your Bibles to the right of Ephesians, you're going to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 6. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, that fear is respect, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy men who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters are you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Now, listen, the Bible's not saying that you need to go around calling your husband Lord. Although that would be pretty cool, honey. yes, give him a crown. But what it's saying here is, listen, wives, because you're going to show salvation, because you're going to be Christ-like, here's what you're going to do. You're going to live out Christ-like lifestyle, attitude, because remember, he says, it's not just what you put on, but it's what's inside that matters. It's the beauty that's inside, the love of God that's inside, that's going to radiate out. What you're going to do is you're going to show Christ, and as you show Christ, you're going to win your husband. Now, you're going to, if he's lost, you'll win him without words. If he's not lost and he's saved, guess what? You'll win him to do what's right and to follow God. And you ladies, you go, why is it up to me? Because God said it. And you go, well, I try. Here's my question. You try, but do you really have the right heart and the right attitude in your attempt? You know, because some go, well, I'm doing this. Well, you know, it's kind of like if I decide to clean up the, and I'm going to mess up my wife's lovely display here, but it's kind of like I go, well, you know what? I'll do the dishes tonight. And I'll just tell you what, man. Okay, you're going to do the dishes. I'm glad you're doing it so willingly. That attitude comes through. The attitude shines, and you know that it's not real. And the husband knows that it's not real. Ladies, if you going, well, I'd pack lunch for him, and he gets to work, and all he has is this ball that you called a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You see what I'm saying? We see real quick, the husband goes, oh, yeah, that was made with love. I could tell by the nail prints. If you don't have the right heart attitude, it shines through. And that's what we're talking about here in 1 Peter, is that when you love them, and he says, you know what? Don't just be adorned on the outside. By the way, and my pastor at home, see, I'm going to lay this on him. So if anybody's mad, you can email him. But my pastor in my home church used to say, even an old barn needs some new paint every now and then. And so, ladies, the Bible, some of you just getting it, like, what's that got to do with me? Oh, and then you go, he called me an old barn. No, I did not. I was telling you what my pastor at home says. And but listen, he says, not only do you adorn yourselves on the outside, not only do you take care of yourself, because listen, if you walk around and you're not taking care of yourself, and you're not pleasant to the eye. Let's just be honest. It's kind of hard to look at some that aren't pleasant to the eye, right? The Bible even talks about that when he talked about Rachel and Leah, right? Man, what did it say about Leah? She was hard on the eyes, right? That was the Bible's way of saying she was ugly. But what happened? You know, Rachel was a beautiful one, and man, listen, he wanted Rachel. Jacob wanted Rachel, and she was the beautiful one, and then he got Leah, and he was like, oh my goodness, put something over my head or hers. And but what happened as the event went on, as it all unfolded, what happened? Man, he loved Leah. Why? Because, man, I mean, I'm sure she painted the old barn every now and then, but she was real in her heart, and her love for him was real, and he won her over, or she won him over. And we see that through Scripture. And so it's important to take care of what's on the outside. I'll tell you what I find really interesting. Oh, this is going to get me in trouble. Dear Lord, please let nothing hit me. Put a shield up right here and protect me. Amen. And so, here's what I find really interesting. Wives, and man, I'm sure you're guilty of this too. You see, I'm trying to ease the blow. But I really find interesting. I've even brought it up to my wife. I said, you know what I really find interesting? I watch these people when they go through a divorce, and the lady, she puts on all this weight. She doesn't take care of her hair. She doesn't do much. And then they get a divorce. She drops 100 pounds. She's painting the old barn. Her hair looks fantastic. And I'm thinking, man, if she would have done that when they were married, their marriage might have worked. But if the husband would have loved her. Well, here's the thing. Ladies, men, please do what God's asked you to do, and you won't be in that situation. If you're willing, listen, ladies, if you go, well, I just can't. It's so hard. It's so hard to lose weight. But you go through a divorce, and you're like, ooh, that dude looked good. You go home, and you're on... Gotta remember Ben. Gotta remember, he was so cute. Okay, just keep going. It's worth it. So's your marriage. You know what I'm saying, ladies? Now I need air conditioning. And I'm only on page one. This is depressing. All right, so here's the thing. Listen, in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6, I want you to see that biblical submission is obediently displaying your role in Mary's picture of salvation. And we see this here in 3, and as we go through, I'm sorry, in 1 Peter 3:1, it says, wives, likewise. What do you mean, likewise? Remember how the word therefore, and I talked about the word therefore, and then we kept backtracking in Ephesians, therefore, therefore, therefore. Well, here it says, wives, likewise. Likewise what? Well, likewise Jesus, just like Jesus. We got to go back to 2:18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. All of a sudden, here's what we're seeing. We're seeing a picture where God says that we are to be in subjection, in submissive, not only to the gentle leader, but also to the harsh leader. That's hard to do, isn't it? And I know some of you ladies, you go, he's so abusive. His words are so, they just cut my heart out. And then after he cuts my heart out with his words, then he uses more words to stomp on it. And pastor, I can't take any more of it. And I go, you got to take it. But why do I have to take it? Why doesn't God just shut him up? I don't know. But God says that you be in subjection to the gentle and to the harsh. 19, for this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. And you go, God, this isn't fair. I know it doesn't seem fair, but listen, God says, I'll honor you for it, but hang in there. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, that being God the Father, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by those by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Wives, likewise. You see how that went? Wives, likewise. God already knows that sometimes it's not fair. And God already knows, wives, that and I found it very interesting that he mentions here in 18, submission to the masters, and whether they're gentle or they're harsh, that you are to submit. And then after talking about submitting to the gentle and the harsh, he gives the example of Christ and how Christ submitted. And then he says, wives, likewise. That's hard. Ladies, for those of you at home getting abused, I am so sorry. There's nothing I can do to help you but to pray if I know about it. But God says he's going to honor you. That he's going to bless you. Husbands, listen. If you're abusive to your wife, verbally or physically, I pray God smote you incredibly hard. Maybe even to the point of knocking you unconscious for about 10 minutes so that you can get a vision that when you wake up, you're a new man. Don't abuse your wives. You do not win them. You hurt them. You cause bitterness, you cause anxiety, and you break up your home. Ladies, as Christ submitted, you submit. I know it's not pretty. I know it's not always good, and I know sometimes it hurts. And I just found it so interesting that God talked about the harshness and the gentle masters and then went right into the wife. He knew what you were going to go through. You are not forgotten. You are loved. But ladies, you still have to submit no matter what your home is. And you go, I don't agree. God just said it. Gentle or harsh master. That even being a husband. Submit. He'll bless you. Just hang in there. Just hang in there. Biblical submission is the key that wins and impacts your husband's heart. It's not what the world will tell you. Listen, the next point. The world has its own set, and there's three major sources of our struggles. Ladies, you have three major sources. Men, we do as well. Our marriages do. And those three struggles are selfishness, Satan, and society. Selfishness, Satan, and society. Selfishness is why submission is hard. Because we're only thinking about us. I want it my way, when I want it, the way I want it, so on and so forth. And so that selfishness just starts breeding inside the home, and it's very difficult to deal with. And then Satan tempted Eve with the very sin as well, and she did not submit. As a matter of fact, she usurped at that point the role of her husband, because she took the lead, and by her taking the lead, brought the house down. The husband told her, which we find very interesting. If you go back and read Genesis, for sake of time, we won't do that because I still have 5 pages of notes that we're never going to get to. But if you go back into Genesis and you read it, you read where it says, God told Adam not to eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. God told Adam. And so, therefore, he never told Eve. Well, then Adam names all the animals, and as Adam names all the animals, he finds there's none for him. God says, look, this isn't good. He brings Eve onto the scene by putting Adam under the knife, takes the rib out, creates Eve. Well, God never told Eve not to eat of that. Adam told Eve not to eat of that tree. Eve usurped authority and ignored what Adam told her and brought the house down. What I want you to see by looking at that is God set the house up in certain order. It's the man, the woman, children, dogs, rodents, fish, cats exist somewhere. Right? But that's beside the point. What we see is when you ignore God's word, you bring the house down. That's what I want you to see. And then we have society. Satan now uses society in a fallen world to convince wives not to follow God's plan. You don't need to follow God's plan. Listen, God is a chauvinistic pig, and God allows slavery, and God kills people, and God, why would you believe in God? And so we have this society that's pushing this on. Ladies, you're to submit to your husband? What are you, some sort of religious freak? I'll never submit to my husband. Society. Society's got us. So the three things of selfishness, Satan, and society. And I'm going to tell you, as a result, marriage has lost its testimony of salvation. Marriage has lost its influence in society. Marriage now is a joke anymore. It's a pun. And has absolutely destroyed children and families as a whole. Biblical submission. It is a woman taking all of her needs, wants, desires, and setting them aside as a voluntary choice of faith and making instead her husband's needs, wants, and desires her highest priority. When you do that, ladies and husbands, when you do that, what you have is you have an unbelievable home that loves God and shows it, and a light shines. The husband actually plays the role of Jesus and loves with such selflessness that he pictures Jesus, who gave himself for the church, because that's what you're going to do. You're going to give yourself to your wife, which is the bride. Wives, submit yourselves and everything to your husbands, according to Ephesians 5:25. And so what happens when a husband loves his wife with such sacrificial love, she loves him in response. And of course, that looks like respect. There's nothing to do with hierarchy. You don't see that. That's not what God says. He says everybody has their role. How many have a job? Everybody should raise their hand, because everybody in the world should have a job. Whether it's in the house or out of the house, you have a job. And you know what? When you have a job, you have people that have their position and they got what they got to do, and we call them white collars. And they have the job, they're in the office, they're doing what they got to do, and they know if they don't do what they got to do, guess what? The blue collars don't work, because if it doesn't come from here, it's not going to make it to here. And if this one doesn't do its job, this one won't make it up here either. You see how connected it is? And they both work together. It's not that up here is dominant and down here is a peon. What it is they're both equal, because they both have a job to do if the company's going to stay existing. Same way in the marriage. One is the husband's not here and the wife down here. They both have a job to do. But wives, submit to your husbands. That's what the scripture says. Okay, I'm moving on, guys. Look how I'm flipping these pages. Listen, you cannot reinterpret Scripture. It's very clear what it says. Look here. I'm going to debunk a few myths that the world lies to you about concerning submission. So the next thing is destroying the worldly myths regarding submission. Destroying the worldly myths regarding submission. And here are some responses to some of the major lies that draw you ladies away from fulfilling God's plan. A, the Bible is old school chauvinistic. The Bible is old school chauvinistic. And I'm going to tell you that it's not old school chauvinistic. It's really interesting. I told you how in Genesis 1, 26 through 27, for sake of time, we can't go there. But the Bible says that, you know what? Man wasn't complete until woman was made. And when woman was made, then she completed man. That means you're special. Do you understand what I'm saying? The man is not complete without you. But you're not complete without the man. The two become one. It's called what gets complete. So the Bible's not chauvinistic. It's already telling you how special you are right in the very beginning in Genesis. In 2:18 through 25 is where God says it's not good that man dwell alone. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." So again, ladies, God is recognizing you're special. Then we have Proverbs 19:14. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Again, you know what? The wife is above houses and riches. Ladies, God is making you special. He is not a chauvinistic pig, as the society will tell you. Then we look here in Proverbs 31, 10 through 11, when it talks about who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies. Listen, the virtuous wife is priceless. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have no lack of gain. She is deeply gifted and talented. If you look in Proverbs 31, 12 through 27, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. Listen, look what happened. This woman is a hard worker. She's gifted. She's talented. By the way, you know what I've found that squashes the talent in most people? The people that are over them. You see it over and over. You have a kid in school who is horrible at sports, but then you give him the right coach and all of a sudden the light comes on. Let's look at Michael Jordan. Do you realize that he didn't make his high school basketball team? They told him he wasn't any good. Think about that. And they sent him home. He said when he went home, he went into his room and cried like a baby for hours. Walt Disney, his school teacher told him he had no imagination and wouldn't amount to anything. I don't even need to go there, do I? Over and over and over. Einstein, his teacher called him stupid. I believe what holds people back is the ones that they're in submission to. Not all the time. Sometimes you're your own self-destructor. But if you look here, a woman is talented and gifted. Men, don't cut that one short. And ladies, don't take advantage of that either and hold it over your husband. She considers a field and buys it from her profit. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arm. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. Listen, she goes on and on and on. She takes care of her family. She feeds. She teaches her children. Listen, as you read this, it goes on and on and on. And that's what all this displays up here, is how the lady takes care of the household. Husbands appreciate what they do. My goodness. I want you to see you got dinner here. Ladies, prepare dinner. Okay, some still need to learn how to cook, but they prepare dinner. You got ladies that teach. They teach their children. The clothing. The taking care of the babies. And you go, what's this got to do with a lady? Somebody asked that. What's this got to do with a lady? You also got to join in on your husband and appreciate what he enjoys as well sometimes. Sometimes you just got to go, I hate football. You know what? For one day, just enjoy it and don't drive him crazy, but every now and then ask him what that means. You just got to do it sometimes. If you don't, and again, it alienates, and you don't want to do that. Proverbs 31, 12 through 27 talks about the talented woman. And then in Proverbs 28 through 31, she's praised by her family and honored by the Lord. It says her children rise up and call her blessed. Why? Because she invests in them. She invests in them. Her husband also, and he praises her. Men, the ladies need your praise. But ladies, the men need your respect and praise as well. Because I'm going to tell you what. The person that matters the most to me about me being a hero to is my wife. It means so much to me. And I go after that. You know, it doesn't matter what you think, but it does matter what my wife thinks. And I go after that. That's what I want to obtain. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Listen, your works are taking care of your family. That's what all this was about, was taking care of your loved ones, taking care of your family. In other words, husbands must honor their wives as blood-bought daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, or God will count it to them as sin. Husbands, you've got to love your wives. So, as we look at that, tell me where God's chauvinist. He's not. Man, listen, he put women up there. He loves you, ladies. But you still have to assume your role. Men, we have to assume our role. Nobody is excluded. Another myth, the Bible places women in a lesser role. That is not true. Women are not given any other commandment than is placed on any other Christian. If we read all of Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, commands all believers to give a sacrificial love to everyone around them as an example of Jesus. So you're not a lesser role. You got to do what we got to do. Verses 18 through 21 command believers to exhibit a spirit-filled life by submitting to other believers as a sign of respect to God. Once again, you're not a lesser role. You got to do what we got to do. We got to do what you got to do. It's not a lesser role. God's calling us to do what we are to do. Workers are commanded to submit to their employers in chapter 6, 5 through 8, in order to be an example to Jesus. The Christian life is consistently taught as one of submission. You're not a lesser role. You just have your part that you got to do, and we have ours. But you're not lesser. But society has got you convinced that you are. And God says, you know what? I expect the same thing out of you ladies as I do you men. And that is to do your part that you were made to do. It's not lesser. It's equal than. But you still got to do your part. And then the third one is submission requires a woman to lose her identity. Well, if I go under my husband and then I'm just a doormat and then everybody, you know what? That is my husband. And you know, they call us Mr. and Mrs. John Westfall. Well, what happened to Mrs. Sherry Westfall? Or I'm the pastor's wife. I'm never Sherry. My wife is solid in her identity. She hasn't lost it. She is solid in her identity. She knows who she is. And you know why? Because her identity is not in her titles. Her identity is in Christ. She's not lost anything. F- Philippians 2, 1 through 17. And for sake of time, I don't have to go there, but I believe I put 2, 1 through 17 on your notes. If you look at your note sheet, you should see it underneath of submission requires a woman to lose her identity. You should have this passage there. Does everybody have it there? Okay. I want you to read that. I want you to, not now, I want you to look that up when you go home, and you're going to see that, you know what? Your identity is in Christ, and that passage talks about your identity. And so I want you to see that you do not lose your identity, because your real identity is to exalt Christ and under His submission, because of His submission to God. You listen, do you think Jesus lost His identity when He came from heaven and died on the cross? No, He didn't lose His identity. What did He do? He submitted to His Father. The Father has a role, the Son has a role. And just because Jesus had to die on the cross and be beat, brutally beaten, and die and go to the grave and conquer death and hell, doesn't mean He lost His identity. Listen, He was Jesus at the right hand of the Father before it all began, and guess where He is now? He's at the right hand of the Father. Guess who He is? He's Jesus. He never lost anything. And if you read here in Philippians 2, 1 through 17, that's what he talks about. How Jesus had his role. He fulfilled his role. Yes, he got abused. Yes, he had to die. Yes, he shed his blood. Yes, it wasn't fair for God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he did it because it was his role and he loves us. And therefore, we do not lose our identity when we take our role in life either. Don't believe the lies of the world. Ladies, you do not lose your identity. Not when you follow Christ. And so, ladies, the key to unlocking your husband's heart is not that God's given you more power over your husband, but that you submit to your husband, that you love your husband, and that you do it with a right heart attitude. And then the second to the last point on your paper, respect is the key that opens his heart. Respect. You know, ladies, you want to be wooed and awed, and you like gifts, and you like this and that, and so on and so forth, and whatever it is that you particularly like. But you love it when your husband tells you you're beautiful. You love it when your husband puts his arms around you and he gives you a hug. Some of you go, no, I don't. Well, get used to it. But you know, you love it when your husband loves you. And I'm going to tell you, your husband loves it when you show him respect. As a matter of fact, nothing motivates him more than when you show your husband respect. To him, that screams love. To him, you go, well, he doesn't earn it. Just give it to him. The Bible doesn't say give it to him if he earns it. The Bible says respect your husbands, period. You got to give it to him. And I'm going to tell you, that'll open his heart, and he'll, listen, I'm telling you, he'll go out and he'll fight anybody for you. He'll take a stand for you. Man, you respect him, he'll be the man you want him to be, but you got to respect him. Genesis 1 through 3, it talks about how God created the husband, the male, as a male, and gave him the male engine. And sometimes we don't understand this engine because the man just kind of goes. Because we go, because we were put on earth to tend and keep. You got to let us tend and keep. You got to let us protect. That's what God designed us to do. He designed us to build things and to conquer things. I'm going to tell you, nothing gives man greater pleasure than when he has built something and it actually works, or he conquers something. And then man goes back, I am man, hear me roar. We love it, man. We love it. I build something or I do something that's really good. You know what I do? I run in the house and I get my wife. To her, it's meaningless. She really doesn't even care. She's like, yeah, that's nice. But she doesn't show that. You know what she does? She pats me on the back or the shoulder or gives me a hug and says, honey, I love you. That is great. Now, I know sometimes she's just appeasing me, but either way, I got what I was looking for. Yeah, why? Because that's the way God made us. Ladies, we need you. We need you. We need you. To love us and to respect us. And if you don't do that, ladies, we will feel like failures. And when we feel like failures, guess how we act? Like failures. And some of you men go, not me. Yes, you do. Because you start killing your marriage. Well, fine. She don't appreciate it. See what else I do. Oh, it's acting like a failure. Because what are you doing? You're causing your marriage to fail. I'm telling you, ladies, you have to respect the husband. We need it. You might call us wimps for that. So be it. I need it. Because that's how God made me. But he made you to need loved and to be adorned and loved on. So what if we called you wimps for that? That's just how God made you. And so we need to give each other what God has put in us to give, because we complete one another. Ladies, you don't have to understand that we need respect and honor. Just give it. You really do. Just okay, God said it, I'll do it, and I'm not even going to make sense of it. Just like we don't understand women. We don't understand how you operate. We don't understand how you think. We don't understand how you process information. We don't understand how you come to the conclusions you come to sometimes. But you know what? We just love you. We don't understand the emotional thing. We don't understand why ladies have to go to the bathroom in herds. We don't get it. We just don't. I don't understand it. But you do it, and we just accept it. And so there's some things that we just accept because it's the way it is. And then the last point. Every man's deepest desire is to be his wife's greatest hero. Every man's deepest desire is to be his wife's greatest hero. I'm going to tell you, nothing builds me up more than my wife and my daughters. Nothing. But you know what? Nothing can scar me more than my wife and my daughters. As a husband and a father, my goal is to raise them up, all three, to love the Lord. And my goal is for them to see me as their greatest hero. What father doesn't want that? How many fathers want that? How many dads, how many husbands want that? You know, I do. Listen, I want my wife to look at me and just go, oh, right? Right? I do. I want, when we get home, honey, you can do that. You don't mean it. You just practice it a few times. I'll be there. I want my daughters to look at me and when they're with their friends to go, that's my dad. That's my dad. We need to be that, men. We need, and you know how that's going to happen? We do our role. Ladies, do you know how that's going to happen? You do yours. If you don't do yours, it's not going to happen. If you're cantankerous, it's an ugly relationship. The man really doesn't want to fight with you. God put him there to protect you, to take care of you. That's why when you see a lot of times men will retreat, ladies, when you attack. Because God didn't put it in us to attack our wives. But for some of you men, you don't retreat and you need to. Only because you're abusive. But ladies, we don't want to fight with you. We want to be your heroes. Respect us. Please. Because if your husband is being a jerk, you're the one, according to 1 Peter, that can put the house back on track. And you go, well, that's not the husband being a leader. No, but that's you doing your role. You see how it works? We have to come together. We have to do our part. Ladies, if you don't do yours, there's no hope of the house returning. Men, if you don't do yours and love your wife, there's no hope of the house returning. The family goes down. The witness of salvation goes down. The witness of Christ goes down. We need to do our role. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today, your word, Lord, for the clarity. Lord, I pray that I preached it as clear as your word says it. Lord, I thank you for the wisdom you give us, direction, Lord. Lord, how you don't leave us here to guess and figure things out. Lord, you give us the word if we would just be diligent enough to seek it. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help husband and wife sit down together, hold hands, pray to you, read your word, work things out the way you call them to work it out. Lord, that each one takes their role seriously so they will have a successful home, successful children. Lord, so that they'll be the shining light rather than the one that turns the lights off. Lord, may we forever seek your face and never give up, never retreat, no matter what Satan or society tells us. Lord, I pray you give the women strength to submit. And Lord, I pray you give the men strength to live like Christ, to love like Christ. Lord, so that we can impact our children, our church, and our society with the love of Jesus. And it's in his precious name I pray.